Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Hex 19 Geekcast, the official podcast of Hex19.com. It is the Christmas season, kind of. The air is filled with holiday cheer. And it's time for a new Hex 19. We are a geek culture podcast. We talk about all kinds of geeky stuff, like movies, video games, board games, TV shows, just...
Other podcasts,
just old episodes of Breaking Bad, just everything in the sphere of geek.
Shut up.
I'm joined by all of my regular co-hosts, starting with Brett Commander.
How's it going?
And to his right, Glenn Meyer.
Hello.
And also we've got Aaron Raham in the house today.
Hello, I'm in the house.
And I'm Yuri Walkew. So big show today, we got a ton of news today. Some more Black Friday figures to follow up after we talked about some last week. Piracy, lots of interesting news floating around about that. And as our main topic today, our critical hit, we're going to be discussing awards. We don't really know what we're going to be doing.
It's going to be one of our famous free-for-all crit hits, because those always go so well.
we're just going to talk about like what things we like about awards, what things we think should change, and we're also going to be like planning out what the Hex 19 award show is going
to
be.
Because we feel obliged to do an award episode, because that's what every other podcast does.
And they're fun.
They're a ton of fun, but we have no idea what to do.
Yeah, so we're just going to be figuring that out as we go. And, to get things started off this week, though, we're going to do our regular first segment, The Mana Pool, where we talk about what we've been up to. Welcome to The Mana Pool. Aaron, what have you been up to this week?
Got back into some old with air quotes, computer games, playing some more Civ 5, just trying to go through and get a whole bunch more of the achievements, just winning with basically all the different civilizations in all the different ways, on all the different map types, and...
Are you still getting raped always?
No. Well, in the game I'm playing right now, I'm raping always.
Yay!
Are you playing on easy?
No.
No?
Not on easiest. I'm playing on 3 or 4, which is kind of middle.
Out of what? How many are there?
Eight. Jesus. 8 is, like, freaking impossible, I think. 5 is, like, it doesn't give you any bonuses, and it doesn't give anyone else any bonuses, so that's, like, normal.
Okay.
So, I used to play on there, and that's what we did our multiplayer game, we played on 5.
And on 8, is it, like, stacked against you?
Yeah, like, you I think it, like, subtracts things from you, so it gives you, like, negative bonuses, and gives everyone else, like, ridiculous bonuses.
The hell?
The difficulty is titled Deity, so it's pretty much impossible.
Yeah, like, 5 is normal, except for the fact that you're still playing against a bunch of computers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other than that, I went back and revisited Space Chem, which I remember talking about a while ago.
Is it a indie bundle game?
Yeah, that was on the Frozen Bite bundle, I believe. So yeah, I got stuck with it and really frustrated and put it down for a while.
It wasn't?
No. I bought the Frozen Bite bundle and it was not in there.
Which one was it in?
What was it in? How did I get Space Chem?
Wasn't it
was the one before?
Humble Bundle 3?
Yeah, it was a bonus game.
I only bought one Humble Bundle.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, you bought a Humble Bundle, and one of the bonuses was you got the Frozen Bite bundle as well.
No, I bought the Frozen... Anyway, I ended up with Space Chem.
The Frozen Bite bundle was, like, in May.
Space Chem.
I played Space Chem, and I got frustrated with it and put it down, and came back and revisited it, and it's just, like, I looked at it, and it was like, what the hell was I doing? Delete everything and start over, and I finished that level and did a bunch more, and I got stuck again, so I just kind of was like, you know what, let's just put it away, I'll come back to it in a while. I found a little, like, Easter egg kind of bonus levels that give you some Team Fortress stuff in the main menu. There's, like, a map, because, like, the main menu is, like, a desk. On the desk, there's a map of Australia. If you click on that, there's a bunch of you're using Australium to produce Mustachium, which are all mustache-shaped molecules. It's a three little weird levels. The last one's freaking impossible, but if you do them all, you get some stuff in Team Fortress. So.
I am doing this as soon as I get home.
Do it.
I don't understand why this has such appeal.
What?
Well, I like Space Chem, and do you get, like, mustaches in Team
Fortress? I don't know. It just said you can, like, in the achievements or something, it said you can complete them to get bonuses in
I items, like Space Chem, items. And I want items in Team Fortress.
Yeah, but you never play Team Fortress.
I don't care. I want them.
Other than that, yeah, continuing on in Skyrim, and I kind of screwed myself. I lost one of the Dragon Priest's masks.
No,
which is such a piss-off, because I had... It was me and Lydia running around, so I was giving her all the best stuff. I gave her one of the masks to wear, because I didn't think she could die. I thought she was, like, the NPCs, that when they get damaged, they just, like, go down on all fours and regenerate. Yeah. But I didn't know that once she goes down, she can get hit again and die. So her body is somewhere out in the wilds of Skyrim. I don't know where.
Just go get married, yeah, and her body will show up at your funeral.
Hopefully. My funeral?
Your marriage.
Your body shows up at your...
There's marriage. Some weird glitch where if your follower dies and then you get married, their body will appear.
That's creepy as hell.
So yeah, I guess I have to go get married in the hopes of forgetting that...
She's with you in much more than spirit.
Yeah, so nothing really...
And if you have any troubles getting married, Yuri post.
I saw. Awesome, I can't find the guy to buy the amulet from. I don't know where he is.
I screwed up in the video. He also goes to the bar to, like, scold the patrons of the bar for drinking.
Okay.
So he's either in the bar or in the temple.
Okay. That helps. I'll go check that out.
The bee and the barb.
Okay, awesome. And yeah, I just wanted to use this kind of to chat about the Xbox dashboard update and the new mobile app that they released. So did everyone get either of those?
I've only checked out the dashboard update, but I read Yuri's article about it.
I got both.
The app, so nice. I really want to get the app.
Yeah, the app, I think the app is really well done. It's like Xbox Home on one page, so it's kind of all their videos and community stuff that they post. You have, like, a social page, which is, like, your avatar, your messages, and you can set beacons from your phone, which is really nice.
I forgot about beacons.
They work really well.
What are beacons?
Yeah, let's talk about those. Like, so what are beacons? Because I've heard about them, and I kind of know what they are, but I don't really get it.
It's like if I'm playing Skyrim, and it's like, oh, well, no one else is online, so yeah, obviously I'm just going to play Skyrim by myself. I can set it, so it's like, oh, I'm playing Skyrim, but I want to be playing Halo Reach. So then when Yuri comes on, it's like, oh, hey, Aaron wants to be playing Halo Reach. I'll invite him, and then I'll be like, oh yeah, so it's just a way of letting people know that you can play together.
So you, like, set a visual status of what you want to be playing?
I think so.
You can set up to 3 games as beacons.
That's awesome!
And with that, you can put a little status message for like, Halo, I can put, like, I like playing Halo Reach and Team Slayer on Wednesdays, or whatever. So then...
Oh, so would it then, like, put it, like, an auto-beacon?
When someone comes into Halo Reach, they can see... Like, which of their friends want to play Halo Reach. There's, like, a game activity page.
Okay.
And as well, whenever someone goes into that game, you'll get an extra, like, toast pop-up on your Xbox of, like, so-and-so is playing Halo Reach specifically, not just their online.
Okay.
So, like, if they switch to a game that you want to play with them, it'll tell you.
Oh, where... Before, I could always, like, check to see what you guys are playing, but that takes, like, action on me, and I might just forget if I get really into Skyrim or something.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really cool.
And I like that you can set it from your phone rather than going through, like, the dashboard. So, like, while something's loading on Skyrim, I can just quickly set it rather than interrupting my game that I'm playing in order to do so. And, yeah, and then, like, the last page is just, like, your games and all your achievements and stuff like that. So I think
that's really cool.
It's really well done. I think the only thing I would like in it is on the games, like, different sorting filters, so I can sort by, like, completion or how many points or date, stuff like that. But other than that...
You can just search by title, which is nice, but, yeah.
Do you have any other thoughts?
I was so impressed by the avatars.
Yeah, your avatar shows up.
You can change it on the app?
You can change it on the app, and it's, like, the fully animated thing, all your... like, props that you have,
yeah,
that it'll actually, like, do the prop stuff on your phone.
That's awesome. My guy snaps and the Normandy appears, like, on my phone. That's sweet.
Yeah, no, because I'm totally just imagining it just being, like, the little picture of it, because, like, normally when I think, like, mobile app or something, you don't...
There's me.
That's awesome. Yeah, and it's cool that it actually just, it's cool that they have their UI on the iPhone, like, they didn't limit themselves to, like, it has to look like an iPhone app, like, everything else does.
Yeah, it's basically Windows Phone 7.
Yeah, which is really cool, and actually, it's clever, because, like, if you like that UI, and you can then become...
Here are all my games.
That's awesome.
And it makes the Xbox noises, too.
Does it? I've had my phone on silent.
Yeah, to turn on, yeah.
When I do what?
Just, like, if you go back, or select a menu.
Ooh. Awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, and... One thing I wrote about with the homepage with all the videos and stuff, that's actually really good, because when I sit down at my Xbox, I don't want to go watch a bunch of, like, minute-long videos about random stuff. I just want to play a game.
Yeah, that's
but
why
if I'm somewhere else, I'd be like, oh, I'd check out a video about Call of Duty or whatever. Like,
yeah, so is it really, like the Xbox Home, like, that full experience is now actually on, like, your phone, more or less?
I would think so.
Like, if you can see all that stuff.
Yeah.
When are they going to have an app that lets us play Xbox games on our iPhones?
Next year.
Never, because that's what Windows Phone 7 is for.
So yeah, any other thoughts on just the dashboard? We talked about a bunch about the app.
Yeah, I think just I love just how clean it is now. Yeah, it really is. I think it reminds me of what I've vaguely seen from, what's the new Windows 9 is the new one, or 8 is the new one?
Windows 8 is the new one, but like Metro interface.
Yeah, that thing where it's just like it's tiles, and it is very reminiscent of Windows Phone 7 and stuff. So it's cool to see that all unified together, because it is a style that I like. I like just like the squared tiles of different shapes and sizes. And we also we checked out two things in particular that I think just look absolutely gorgeous, and it really makes me want to come and use my Xbox more. One, I checked out Netflix, which they just have this new interface that is just gorgeous and awesome.
It works really well.
And what's really cool too is that like when you get to the end of a show, as the credits are running, the video will like move to the side. You'll get like an info panel that pops up, and it'll be like, do you want to watch the next episode? You can kind of browse in that. So it's all just this really cool experience of actually watching media. And secondly, I was just trying out the search. I don't have my Kinect set up, so we didn't try any of that. But I was just searching, like, I randomly searched Flight of the Conchords, and they're like, yeah, we have it. It's just all their albums. And so I clicked to play the album, and it was like, do you want to sign up for a free Zune Pass subscription just to try it out? Yeah. I was like, yeah, sure, why not? Because I just wanted to see what the interface looks like. Mm-hmm. So we got that downloaded really quick, and then, the Flight of the Conchords came up. It's just like, and it just says, play top songs. It's like, okay, play that. And just the interface, or I don't really know what to call it, but the thing that plays, like, the visuals while the music is playing is probably the coolest, like...
Yeah.
Thing like, of that I've seen.
It's like pictures of the band overlaid with lyrics from the song, and they all kind of like move in different distances and change colors and cycles through a whole bunch of different stuff.
Wait, so, would you say it's even better than that, like, auditorium?
It's very similar. I actually like it a lot more than that. And especially it's like comparing it to Apple's super simple thing with their like Front Row and whatnot, which is just like the little album art. Like, it's super clean and whatnot, which is nice, but just, yeah, the design of this is awesome. Just full HD pictures that actually cycle through, and just, like, it was especially epic for the Flight of the Conchords, because it's just, like, really obscure, like, them just looking badass doing things. But, yeah, on top of that, it's just, the song stuff is just overlaid and scrolling in just really visually awesome ways. So, yeah, I was really just blown away by this. The design of the interface it really encourages me to use this, because it really feels like a really modern thing. And especially thinking of where it was when, like, the initial Blades and the music visualizer and stuff, just thinking of where this console has gone, it's so cool where it is now.
Yeah, I think by far the best feature of the update is one that you won't notice right away, but will come in so handy.
Is it the cloud?
Yeah, the ability to sign into your gamer tag from anywhere without having to recover it and download it.
Oh, nice.
And just being able to save your games in the cloud is awesome.
Oh.
So you don't have to worry about carting around a memory card for save games.
Nice. Yeah, now, I'm not sure if I just am not aware of what's on my Xbox, but I thought, because, like, I'm between, like, my Kinect Xbox and my old Xbox, because my old Xbox has more storage space, my new one, it's a nightmare. But I was looking through it, and I was looking through my games, and there were games on there that I didn't think were on my Xbox. So I was wondering, I don't know if this is true, or if I'm just, if this is just something I thought, but it looked like I was seeing games that weren't on my Xbox, but were still, like, in my game library.
Oh, so maybe they just changed it to list everything that you've bought.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if that's true, but... Even though it's totally something that they could do and would be awesome. And with this cloud thing, yeah, that whole thing really excites me.
Okay, cool. So, Brett.
Yeah, may as well keep talking. So, keep going. So with Netflix and whatnot, trying that out, I didn't really have much time for anything this week. So I basically only got to check out two cool things. One is a movie called Cashback that I've seen on Netflix just browsing around, but never... The cover of it just looks weird, so I was like, I totally just judged it by its cover and never watched it, until a friend was like, you have to see this movie. It's like this artist guy, like, stops time and shit. I was like, what? I had no idea that's what... Because you would never guess that from the cover. But yeah, it's actually... It's this really awesome independent film. And basically the story is super simple. This guy goes through a breakup and then from that gets insomnia. So he has 8 extra hours. So he uses that 8 extra hours to actually just work the night shift at some supermarket. And in that stuff, just with the interactions between him and, like, his coworkers who are all just totally bored and trying to survive the 8-hour shift, it becomes a lot like Office Space, which movie you guys have seen, where it's just, it's really fun just to see their interaction, just, like, what they do at work. Because, like, there's some stuff where they do, like, they have, like, a scooter race around, or just weird little things that, like, if you've ever had a part-time job, is either something you've totally done or something you wish you would have done. And so with that, it's totally awesome. But on top of that, it's also this really nice story about this aspiring artist who really likes painting. And with that, he starts imagining that he can actually stop time and... stop time to undress women. But with that, it's like, it's not pervy.
Are you sure?
It's kind of pervy, but...
Sounds pretty pervy.
It's pretty pervy. But, like, just with his character and stuff, and just, like, he's doing it just so he can actually, like, sketch them, because he's so fascinated with, like, the female beauty and stuff. It's just
Sounds pretty pervy.
Yep.
It's kind of pervy, but it handles it really well. And just, yeah, the story... It's such a nice, independent, grounded story where there's no really overarching plot. It's just about this character and just, like, moment-to-moment things that he does. It's just really special. And, I mean, for me, who loves movies like Garden State, which is also I love just because scene to scene, there's just so much interesting little things that are happening. Cashback is totally just a movie that I was not expecting and totally love. And you would do if you like these smaller independent movies. Really nice, really special. And other than that, other than watching, I don't know, Eureka or The League or all these other things that I really want to watch but haven't.
Or playing Mass Effect 2.
I instead watched Breaking Bad Episode 1 again because I saw it was on Netflix Canada, luckily, because I know the States got it a while ago and then we finally got it.
Yep.
And I basically just started watching it because I needed to test my Netflix connection because Cashback wasn't loading. But Just seeing that, like, the opening scene starts off with Walt, like, driving the RV with, like, the two dead guys in the back, and Jesse passed out on the... I was like, holy crap, that's how this starts?
Yeah, and, like, in his underwear and his apron, the gas masks.
Yeah, like, the first shot, just, like, pants flying in the air. And, yeah, so, and with that, because, I mean, yeah, we had our Breaking Bad discussion not too long ago, and it's talking about, like... where they are now is just so crazy. And I remember just thinking, like, and I remember it starting out so simple, and every, like, this whole chain of craziness events was started off with the, with just, like, choices made in the first episode. And yeah, watching that is just, it's so cool to see where this starts off, and just seeing, mm-hmm. like, the character that Walt is just doing his first little speech about why chemistry is awesome. And it reminds me, like, my initial love of the show came from the excitement of them actually doing chemistry. And there's this awesome scene of, like, Jesse, who is, like, the street meth cooker who, like, knows everything, street smarts guy.
Knows everything, in
yeah.
air quotes.
Yeah, and, like, it's just Walt taking out science, or chemistry materials.
Or, like, the round bottom.
Yeah, from his trunk. And just, like, just their conversations just about, like, really mundane science that's just really interesting. And just, yeah, so just seeing, like, the roots of this show again is so awesome. It totally makes me want to watch the whole thing again, which is terrible because I have so many other things I want to watch. But yeah, it was awesome seeing that first episode.
I rewatched that episode not too long ago, but there's one line where he's at his party, like his birthday party, and Hank's like, one of these days we'll get some excitement in your life, Walt. And just, like, thinking about, like, the writers knew stuff was gonna go berserk for him in the next couple episodes, but, like, I doubt they had any idea of where it would go for, like, the fourth season and where we are now.
Yeah, and there's even just, like, really, like, not intentional things, but just seeing Walt, like, he's at the he's in the car wash and he's just wheeling around, like, a big barrel of stuff, and it's like, oh my god, it's like just the imagery of what that actually means later, which is totally, like, meaningless, but just seeing those little seeds planted is just so cool.
Hey, so this week I jumped into some Halo Reach, as usual. It's like the arena season 10 started, so I've been playing some matches in there to get my rating.
Oh, is that thing where it's like you get like a ranking at the end?
Yeah, you have to play four games in one day to get a daily ranking, and then 5 days in the course of an arena to get a arena division.
Okay.
And then once you're done the arena, like once the season's over in like a few months or whatever, it shows you how well you did against people of your division.
Okay, cool.
So I'm in gold division.
Out of how many? Like, what are the divisions?
It's the third one out of six, I think. So kind of in the middle.
It's still pretty good, though, just considering.
No.
Considering Yuri's been playing always.
I suppose. Okay, never mind, you suck.
Yeah. And, checked out a cool custom game type with my buddy Glenn Meyer from Hex19.com.
We did.
I've heard of him.
So we played some Speed Halo with some other friends.
Oh, we have to play Speed Halo once we're done recording.
It's fun.
Okay, let's
do it. You guys showed me a video. Yeah, definitely talk about what this is.
Yeah, so it's a special infection game type.
I forgot it was infection.
Basically, the whole map is just this giant ramp. And
with teleporters at either end. Or teleporters at the one end. So it's actually just...
Teleporter entrance at the bottom, exit at the top. So it's like a never-ending ramp.
Yeah, just straight down, pretty much.
So at the top, the humans start with a bunch of vehicles, warthogs. So they just get into those and race down the ramp. And the zombies are at the bottom, and they have swords and gravity hammers.
Oh, God.
So as the warthogs come down, it's the objective of the zombies to smash them with hammers. But every single time that the warthogs go through the teleporters and go back to the top, they just keep going faster and faster and faster, so it gets harder to time the hits to turn them into zombies.
Because, yeah, you're basically standing in front of the warthog like, okay, not yet, not yet, splatter.
You don't have that much time to think. It's okay, no.
Yeah, like, if you're standing at the bottom of the ramp, you have to start swinging as soon as the warthog appears at the top.
What?
at a certain point, once they get fast enough.
Oh my god.
And then there are points where they'll go fast enough that they'll just, like, bump a wall and take off into the air and start flipping around the ramp.
So is there any, like, strategy for humans, or is it just, like...
Just you drive. Definitely
is the fun just riding along?
Some of the fun is that, but definitely when you start, you don't want to be the first guy down. Because, like, on the first run, you're going to be the slowest, and the zombie's probably going to go after the first car that he sees. So there's always this, like, fight at the beginning where you're, like...
Trying to push other people in front of you, or...?
The zone at the top is one of those kill zones where you can only be up there for 10 seconds.
Oh, God!
Like, trying to delay the longest to go down the ramp at the beginning.
I didn't even know that, like, there was kill zones. Or is it just, like, out of the battlefield? Or is it an actual set thing that you can drop?
It's one of those, like, out of the battlefield things.
Okay.
But you can set that... In Forge, there's a way to do that.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, like, one thing I like to do is on the first run, rather than just going straight down, because when you're going slow-ish, you can still kind of turn to the side and things like that. So I like to go straight down for a bit, and before I reach the zombies, turn to the side. So I'm going sideways across them, and I'm more likely to hit them. Because you get points if you kill zombies.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay, and then, yeah, also this week I went to Future Shop. I was just, like, looking around.
Okay.
Or I guess this is 2 weeks ago. But I saw they had Blur for $9.99, and I was like, that's awesome. I'm just going to buy this. And I'm so happy I did. It's a really fun game. I wrote up a review about it.
Just hijacked my my column series.
I did hijack your column
series. It's completely fine. Feature.
It is.
You should post that one from Easter, but leave all of the Easter references in.
Okay, I can do that. Whatever happened to that? I don't know why it didn't get posted.
Because you couldn't, for some reason, you couldn't upload the photos.
That's right. My internet was screwing that up.
So yeah, Blur is a game that came out 2010?
Yeah,
or was it
last year.
Early in the year?
May.
Yeah, okay.
So,
I'm trying to think of what, is it a driving?
Yeah, it's a driving game. It's basically like Super Mario Kart with... real life cars.
Yeah, and that's totally like what it was aiming to be. Huh. Like, and yeah, there were commercials like making jokes about its comparison to Mario Kart, and like this little cartoon guy is trapped in the cartoon world, and he looks out at Blurry, he's like,
"Yeah, I remember that."
Just like epicness. So yeah, so it's the same thing. Like you're picking up power ups and like just basically destroying the other cars and whatnot.
Yeah, I didn't play any of the multiplayer or anything, but I just played through the single player campaign. And it's really fun. It's like, it's the fun of using those power-ups from Mario, but it actually feels like you're racing. Like, for me, Mario doesn't feel at all like driving a car whatsoever.
No, it's its own thing. Like, it's the arcade feeling that it has is so its own thing.
It's like, once in a while you might fall off the track, but other than that, you just, like, hold down the gas and do power slides around every single
which
corner.
Which is fun!
Yeah, and Blur, you actually have to, like, race and slow down for corners and other stuff you do in a car. So, yeah, I had lots of fun with that. And I checked out lots of new podcasts this week as a result of the Canadian National Day of Podcasting, which we participated in. Just, I think my favorite one that I checked out is called the S&M Rants.
S&M?
It's not what you think.
Oh my god.
It's the initials of the two people that run the show.
That is unfortunate.
But
they couldn't have made it like M&S.
No. It's like one of the most hilarious podcasts I've ever listened to. It's very vulgar, so it's not recommended for sensitive types. But basically what they do is they pick a bunch of stories about just like really stupid people doing either just like generally stupid things or like really ridiculous sexual things.
Usually involving S&M.
And so they discuss a bunch of those stories. And then they have a guest on as well, and they deliberate who is the fucktard of the week.
So they basically, like they set up nominations, like, with these stories, is that?
Basically, they're like, they'll pick three stories about people that did really stupid shit this week.
And they argue about which one's worse?
Yeah.
That's amazing!
It's so funny.
And it's an actual Canadian podcast, then?
Yeah, they're based in Vancouver.
That's really awesome.
Yeah, right, we'll start listening.
Like, they talked about this lady from Edmonton, actually. I didn't hear about this story, but I guess.
Okay.
She bought a 5-pack of Stride gum and then chewed it, and it, like, stuck her dentures together. So she sued Stride gum for $100,000 because it caused her depression.
What?
Because apparently she was, like, kidnapped as a child and had her, like, mouth taped shut or something, so it, like, brought back memories of that. And she's like, this caused me 10 minutes of depression.
That's $100,000 worth of my time.
Yeah, and like they have really funny guests, too. One week they had Brian Brushwood, which is awesome. So
what? That's amazing.
Yeah, so.
How did we get Brian Brushwood?
Yeah,
Who's Brian Brushwood?
He's Scam School guy, spiky hair. You seen him?
I have no idea who that is.
He's just like a crazy awesome.
He's a magician slash amazing.
You said spiky hair, so I'm just going to picture him as Guy Fieri, and we'll move on.
Sounds good. Glenn, what did you do this week?
So, picked up 4 new games, a few pretty major ones.
Oh god, we're going to be here a while.
I'll go quick. So Saints Row the Third, which a lot of people were saying was like Game of the Year contender, or I know
I'm surprised you picked this up because like you hate Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, he picked it up.
I was bored.
So I'm surprised you played it at all.
Yeah, it is a lot like Grand Theft Auto. Like, I loved the first hour or two of it because it was like heavily scripted, awesome action sequences,
yeah,
like falling out of a plane
and
then
the top.
Jumping out of a helicopter into a party on a penthouse while Kanye's playing, and
that's awesome.
Like, it felt like a really over-the-top action movie. Like, I loved it, and then it hit the open world, like Grand Theft Auto part, and it sucked. Because the problem is you hit a certain point, and then all of the missions you do are the same as the side missions.
Okay.
Except they have a 10-second cutscene where one of the characters is telling you to do it beforehand.
Okay, so just, like, not much to do after that?
Yeah. So, like, you do the heavily scripted part at the beginning, then you do, like, a dozen side missions that are just spread throughout the city anyway. You're just doing specific ones with cutscenes. And then, like, 2 more scripted missions and you're done the game. It took me, like, 6 or 7 hours to finish, I think.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I have mixed feelings, because I loved the first hour, hated everything else.
Okay.
And there were a few moments in there that were so awesome. Like, they really did a good job of making the characters seem human at parts. Like, at the beginning of the game, it's like you just took out a military base because you needed weapons.
Right.
So then you're just driving away from your, like, apartment, literally filled with weapons. And this song comes on the radio. I have another NPC in the car with me. This song comes on the radio that, like, I would listen to here. I don't remember the name of it. But anyway, you start singing along together. It's like, hey, sing it with me. And they just start singing. And it was like, oh, this is awesome. I don't want to get out of the car to start the quest because I want to finish listening to them sing it.
It's kind of awesome.
Yeah, but then nothing else like that ever happens. So,
yeah, that I mentioned a while ago, the Idle Hands gaming group that I joined. There's a couple people on there that have like nothing but praise and say it's like the greatest game ever. So
yeah.
Well, yeah, it sounds like, I mean, if you like Grand Theft Auto, like if you like the open world thing, or maybe Glenn, like, you
I love like open that. World stuff. It was just the missions were crap. Like you get to a certain point and it's just like, drive to this point, pick up these hookers, and drive back. Okay. You're done the mission.
Hooray.
Okay, that's kind of lame.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe, I mean, maybe the excitement of, like, the first hour can keep you going through just, like, loving being in that world or something. I don't know.
I don't know. It's awesome. So, next game I checked out is Anno 2070.
I think you mean Ammo.
Ammo? Did I spell
know.
It wrong?
No, I don't
no,
know.
It is Anno.
I know, it looks weird.
So, it's a sci-fi city building slash RTS game.
Okay.
Where it's, like, the really unique thing about it is you have to, like, bring the environment into what you're building. So, like, there's a score where it's, like, you're ruining the environment this much. So there's, like, two different factions you can choose. One gets a whole bunch of buildings that improve the environment while still being able to get all the resources and stuff. And the other one is just, like, no improvements, just strip mine everything.
Oh, God.
So there's two really different ways to play, and it's really cool concept. I could see why people like the game, but I'm not finding it very fun.
So, is it SimCity meets StarCraft?
No.
Okay.
There is a game that is exactly that.
What?
It's called Caesar, the Caesar series. I think there's two or three of them. And
I don't actually know what that means.
It's like a city building game like SimCity, except you're like in Rome, so it's of that era. And then, so you have your like main city, but then you also have a world map and you do battles, and like based on how well you build your city, you get more troops, and based on how well you do in battles, you get more bonuses for your city. It's pretty cool.
Hmm.
Yeah,
it's also like 10 years old though, so don't
worry. I'm finding Anno a bit boring. I don't know, Yuri might like it. I know he likes city building like games and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, I've been playing Cities XL. It's awesome.
So, that's pretty much all I have to say about Anno, I guess. I'm not too far in it. I've only done the first couple missions in one like free game where I didn't know what was going on. Then checked out Trine 2, which came out on Wednesday. Was it Wednesday?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was Wednesday.
So Trine being the game where you're like the three characters all in one?
Yes, you've got the wizard, the knight, and the thief, and you can switch between them at will. It's a physics-based
platforming puzzler type thing.
2.5D type thing. It's really, really awesome. Like, I love the first one. I don't think the second one's quite as good. I'm not enjoying it quite as much, but
it's still awesome. Did they change something about it, or it's just they didn't change enough, so it just reminds you of the first one?
There seems to be a bit less, like, customization. Like, in the first one, you would open a chest and get an item that would, like, change something about your character. But if there are those in Trine 2, I haven't run into any yet. It's just you open a chest and get a piece of concept art or something, which I've never been a fan of in games.
What?
And, yeah, I don't know. The puzzle design is cooler in a lot of cases, but I'm finding it less fun. I'm not sure why. It's still an awesome game, and if you like physics-based games, then pick it up for sure. And finally, Battlefield 3, which I don't know why I didn't get it until now. Got it on
PC?
Yeah, on PC, of course. I'm playing it on Ultra with my graphics cards tweaked so that it's higher than Ultra. So I have like 32 times anti-aliasing and a whole bunch of other stuff.
Science.
And it looks like better than real life.
I want to see this. Holy crap.
It's so good looking.
Oh yeah, because like, you just got your like crazy new PC that can actually run this at what it's supposed to be.
Yeah. And the game is so good, too. Like, Yuri, you had said that people were saying that they didn't like multiplayer as much as Bad Company 2. Mm-hmm. I think I'm liking it more. Like, the map design isn't as good, for sure. That's my one issue with it, but all the weapons and vehicles and stuff just feel better to me. And there's a map pack coming out next week, so.
It's out already, isn't it?
It's out on PS3.
Okay.
Yeah.
Back to Karkand. Mm-hmm. That's some classic Battlefield 2 maps.
Bringing back some of the best old ones.
I saw some of the clips with, like, the multiplayer maps where it's, like, a completely destructible environment, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a guy who placed a tank in a perfectly specific spot beside a water tower, put C4 on two of the legs, and then went back and waited for someone to go and get in the tank, and then he blew it up so the water tower actually crushed and killed the guy in the tank.
That's awesome.
It was hilarious.
There's so much cool stuff you can do like that.
Okay, so that's it for the mana pool. Next up, our new segment, the sit-rep. Welcome to the sit-rep. It is time to talk about some news that has been going on in the geek world. Starting off with some news from Europe, from Switzerland, to be precise.
Some piracy developments.
Yar.
So the Swiss government conducted a study into piracy and how it affects sales.
Not only that, from the study they've decided that since downloading leads to sales, they're going to keep downloading legal.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to what's happening in the US with SOPA and craziness. I don't even know what's happening in Canada. I know there's something recently, but... So, Swiss basically going in the complete opposite direction of anyone else.
Yes.
Yeah, I read... the same article, just on from a different source. And yeah, basically people who are downloading music and movies are doing that beside what they would normally spend. So if they didn't have the access to download things, it's not that they wouldn't spend more. They're still going to spend the same amount of money. All this downloading just occurs on top of that, so it doesn't actually affect how much they spend on actual products.
Right, so and it's not necessarily that all people do this, because there are people who are just like, well, if I can download, I'm not going to spend any money. But I think, like, what the study is showing that actually on higher than average or whatnot, people are using downloading A as a way to sample music and therefore realize, like, oh, I really like this band. I'm going to support them and put more money into this. And, yeah, like you said, I've spent all the money I can on iTunes this month or whatever, but there's this album that I really, really want. Well, I may as well download it.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, then I don't know how that might lead from... Because, like, for me, it feels weird, like, if you already own a song, that you're not going to go out and then buy that song again, because then you have to, like, clear out library stuff, so I don't know necessarily how that leads, but basically, if you're downloading more, you're also buying more.
Yeah, and another thing with that, they said that, like, smaller bands that maybe no one really knows about have a higher chance of becoming big-name bands with this sort of thing, because everybody's downloading all this music. Oh, you stumble across some little band, now everybody's downloading that instead of buying the CD, you know, they maybe can't find because the band isn't even that big to have it in most stores. So now, oh, everybody's downloading this, they become super popular, they get their CDs in stores, and people start buying it there.
I think that's a very optimistic outlook.
It is, but...
Mm. But, like, another thing, not relating to music now, to games, I know a lot of people, like I do this occasionally, will pirate a game, play it for an hour. If they like it, they go buy it. Like, a lot of games don't offer demos anymore. And, like, you would look at a game like Saints Row 3, expect, like, 6 hours of awesomeness. Or, well, like, you would expect more than 6 hours, hopefully. But then torrent it and get, like, an hour in and just, it's not fun anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's good for demoing things. Like, I know people who do that with movies as well, with music. They'll torrent a song or two and see if they like the band, and yeah.
And even torrenting, they said people who are torrenting, like, movies and stuff that's coming out in theaters, they're spending more money on average on going to the theater than people who are not downloading movies. But I think that's just more a thing. Like, if you're big into movies, you're going to be going to the theater more and downloading movies, so.
Yeah, I think it's almost like a matter of if you include downloading, then that means it's less expensive to take in more media. And so with that, like, if you're lowering the barrier to entry to music and to movies and whatnot, then you have much more likely to actually build up fan bases of people who are going to go to concerts, going to go to movies, and maybe support the industry in maybe other ways that is maybe, like, dying out a bit. Like, if CDs aren't doing that well, and which, I mean, is, like, an argument that they're making, but, like, from TNT or Tech News Today and stuff, they're saying, like, there's reports that the industry is still super profitable and making more money than ever, like, in both the music industry and the movie industry, and yet they're still saying that downloading and piracy is killing us and putting us bankrupt, and so that's why we have to put people in jail for 25 years something. And yeah, and there's just, like, it's just weird that the states and stuff are just making it, like, just the level of criminal or the level of criminality that they're making just downloading is just so absurd that downloading is in some things showing that it's helping the industry.
Yeah.
And also just, like, that downloading stuff is now, like, more illegal than, like, killing people in some very specific certain circumstances. But it's getting way too out of hand.
Well, part of me agrees with you, but another part of me, like, this is really unfair for content creators that, like, a government is just deciding that, like, oh, yeah, people can download your stuff because it's good for you. Like, that's kind of a...
Well, no, I think, on the other side, it's like, well, they're not going to let you download because it's bad for you. And so, I mean, but there's some people that it benefits, some people that it doesn't. I think what, like, the government's saying is that we're just going to stay out of it, and maybe that would actually encourage people to realize, okay, well, if downloading isn't helping our industry or our business in particular, how can we use downloading? How can we...
Yeah, but, like movies are the property of that movie studio, and, like, it should be their right to go after people that are stealing that. At Hex19, we use a Creative Commons share-alike attribution license. So if you want to download this podcast and remix it and post it or whatever, you can go ahead and do that. But we don't want you taking our podcast and making a remix of it and selling that in a store.
Right, but that's not what they're saying is legal. They're not saying that you can make money off of other people's things. They're just saying you can
access it. No, I know, but I'm just giving this example. Like, let's say, so someone takes Hex19, puts auto-tune on our voices and sells it in a record store and makes a bunch of money off of it. And then we're like, we want to sue them, but the government's like, well, they're actually helping you, so you can't do that.
Okay, yeah, but I mean, like...
Like, it's not up to them.
Isn't about people making money off
of it. I understand, but like, it's off the government saying that deciding that something's good for you, so it's legal. Like, it's not up to them to decide, it's up to you to decide.
So how is that any different from the government saying something's bad for you, so it's illegal?
Well, like, if it's legal, then you can't go after these people or prosecute them.
I see what Yuri's saying, and, like, I do agree with that, and, like, I get, obviously this is just a really broad sort of thing to say, like, it is good for it's not going to be good for everyone, obviously, which is what they're assuming. It is going to be different in every single circumstance, in every case of what's being pirated, but I think the majority, I think, is what they're...
Okay, so I could see this being maybe on, like, one end of the spectrum that maybe isn't that good, but then comparing that to, like, the United States and stuff, on the other side of the spectrum, I think it's, like, a difference between the Swiss saying it's legal, so we're just going to stay out of it, as opposed to actively going after people who are downloading and stuff. Because I think it'd be one thing for... Because, like, if the Swiss government is saying it's completely legal, so that means anyone who's downloading, we're gonna if they go to court, then, or if an independent company tries to sue, like, people, then I guess, yeah, it would be interesting to see what the government does in that case, if they're gonna defend or put it into law that they have no... they have no right to sue people. But I think it's, like, on another end for the government, it's another story for the government to actively go after people and, like,
yeah, no, steal people's computers and stuff. It shouldn't be the responsibility of law enforcement agencies to do that stuff. But if, like, a company finds out that somebody's stealing their stuff, they should be able to go after that person.
Yeah, I
it's their it's their thing.
Sure, okay, yeah. You can go after a person, but you can't then charge them. I think the difference is you can't... You can maybe... I don't really know what happens in there, because, like, the problem is now that that's happening in the States, and people are being charged, like, hundreds and thousands of dollars for doing this thing that isn't damaging the business as, like, that much. Like, the law is outweighing what's actually happening. So, I mean, sure, I think you're right that people should... You should be able to go after people, but not to the extent that it's happening right now.
Yeah, so I think what this is, like, if John... some person I'm making up in Sweden, is found to have downloaded so much stuff, he can't, like, do jail time for this, but the people who own that stuff can still perhaps sue him and get, like, money from that they're owed. So, yeah. Like, the government can't put you in jail, it's not a criminal offense, but you can still get sued for damages, I'm assuming?
There's probably some loophole that lets him do that.
Yeah, I think, I'm actually totally starting to agree with you. There is, like, there is still no correct answer of what the proper, I forget the word, for it, and I'm taking economics, so I should know the word, but there's no proper thing for the government to do, because, like, there's things like, there's the facts of, like, what happens, and then there's the things that you should do as a result of that. The problem is, I think this is just saying that what the Swiss government is saying, like, we still don't know what the facts are about downloading, so that therefore makes it really hard to make laws and to make things about it. So for us personally, we're going to stay out of it and see how this develops.
Yeah. It seems like we just kind of maybe misworded things. It's not that it's always good for all the companies. It's not that it's so bad that it cripples the industry, basically, is I think why they're staying out of it.
Yeah.
But in some cases, I guess it can.
And it's merely an interesting development as we reach a correct thing to do about this, that actually downloading might lead to sales as opposed to cripple the industry and ruin everything and lead to the apocalypse.
Anarchy.
Yeah. I think that what they're doing is better than saying, we aren't going to get any statistics and just sue you for millions.
Yeah.
Okay, so our next story, which is very closely related, CD Projekt Red, which is the developer of the popular Witcher franchise, he was interviewed and commented about the piracy of Witcher 2 and said it was downloaded about 4.5 million times on illegal sharing sites.
That's pretty nuts.
Considering the game sold about 1 million copies, it's ridiculous.
Wow.
Yeah, so, like, this is one of those cases where it's like, oh, no, it's helping you. And, like,
no, clearly it's not. Company
probably would disagree with that. So, they're very adamant against DRM, which probably is one of the reasons why it was so easy for many people to pirate. Like, their games are just completely DRM free. It's just like a file that you run on your computer. You can play it wherever. Lots of people were, like, empathizing with CD Projekt this week and being like, oh, they're, like, such good guys. But really, they're up to their own shady stuff as well, too. I read an article that they're actually going after IP addresses of people that have downloaded it and demanding pay us like $1,250 or else we'll sue you.
Well, that's what you want, though, isn't it?
Yeah. But no, I want them to sue you, not to do shakedown.
Okay.
Like, pay us money or else we'll take you to court. Like,
okay, yeah.
Almost blackmail.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, like, I guess my whole question then is, like, what was it about The Witcher 2 in particular that led to so much piracy? Was it, I guess, yeah, just the lack of DRM there? But it's curious because we don't have the opposite, or there's no way to know how the game would have done had it been completely locked down and had there been no such thing as BitTorrent. Like, there's no way to know, like, maybe the game just wasn't good enough. Like, I think the question is, would those 4.5 million people have bought the game? Like, are they actually missing out on 4.5 million sales? Or is it just that...
Is it 4 million people decided, this game isn't worth the $60 or whatever came out, but oh hey, I can download it for free. Yeah, I might as well.
Or it'd be interesting to see, like, what came out that month. Because maybe people are like, okay, I have X amount of money, I'll get this game, and this game, and this game, because those are the games I really want. And then there's also Witcher 2. Well, I don't have any other money, so I may as well just download it.
Yeah. Like, so there's so many other factors that would need to be considered that it's impossible to, I guess...
Yeah, or just at least really tough at this point.
True.
I think it's pretty safe. Like, they definitely wouldn't have sold 6 million copies or whatever.
Yeah, but that is definitely what I think certain anti-piracy things, and they want you to believe that. Like, look, they're missing out on 4.5 million times 60. Like, they're missing out on all that money, because that would have been...
Yeah, when not necessarily all those people would have actually bought the game.
I doubt most of those people would buy it.
I still think they would have sold a lot more copies.
Yeah, yeah, like, it is a good game, though, right?
Yeah, it was very well-reviewed. Jeff Kanata of the Totally Rad Show fame called it better than Dragon Age 2.
Is that saying much?
Yes.
Yes.
But yeah, Dragon Age.
Not 2. I hate Dragon Age.
Anyway.
Anyway. Well, I don't hate it. I dislike it.
We've had this discussion. Moving on.
Yeah, I think that the main point of this article is that CD Projekt thinks that DRM isn't worth it, which I agree with completely. Like, maybe CD key and stuff, yeah, that's reasonable, but in the case of, let's say, Assassin's Creed 2, where you had to always be online, or Spore, where you could only install it on, like, 2 or 3 computers and never anymore past that.
Yeah.
Like, those games probably had 10 copies pirated for every one they sold, because their DRM was ridiculous. Like, you're making it tougher for legitimate players to play your game.
Yeah, it'd be tough then for, like, some outside consulting people to, like, come in and with CD Projekt, like, look, we realize that you didn't do very well, so here's what you should do. Basically, you essentially need to cripple your gaming experience, and then maybe you can get more money. Like, and it's tough, I can see then for, like, this company that's completely anti-DRM, to see this, like, okay, well, we're losing out on all these sales, but, like, if we add DRM, that just makes it worse, so what do we do?
Yeah, you find some sort of intermediary, some happy balance between total lockdown and nothing.
Or, like, maybe just lower the prices of games. Like, is that something that just needs to happen? Like, maybe it's because there's this extreme end of, oh, you can either get it for 70, or you can get it for free. Whereas, like, there's other things, like, I'm finding with Netflix, I'm on all the time, just because it's like, well, it's, like, I'm thinking, like, I can get all these individual, I can go out and, like, get all these Blu-rays and stuff, or I can just go on this and, like, watch all these movies that I may not have watched, but I'm still going to watch them because it's so easy to...
Yeah, you're already paying for the service to watch as many things as you want this month. Why not go and watch a bunch of things?
Yeah, and it's like, so maybe, like, they're thinking, okay, well, we're at $60, or we're at that price point. If we lower our prices, we're going to lose out on so much money. Stuff, but with that, if you get it closer to that, you basically have to get it close enough to that part of, well, I may as well just buy it, because as soon as buying something becomes more convenient than going out and downloading and dealing with that, you're not going to get the hardcore torrenters, but you're going to get the people who maybe wouldn't have bought it anyway. So I think, yeah, just looking at how they monetize their games and stuff is something worth looking at.
Yeah, still in terms of DRM, like, I just want to give an example of one thing that I thought worked really well, which was the DRM for Batman Arkham Asylum, which is, once you got to a certain point in the game, Batman's glide ability wouldn't work properly, and you'd fall to your death every time.
Huh.
Like, if you held down the button for glide, it wouldn't recognize that you're holding down the button. It would think you're pressing it over and over again, so he looked like he was flapping his arms, and he would, like, fall to his death.
That's if you, like, illegally downloaded mm-hmm. a copy?
Yeah. And it took, like, weeks or, like, a month or more to crack that. Like, it slowed people down. It was funny.
It's basically a demo at that point.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'll say that I pirated Batman Arkham Asylum, but I played it for half an hour and had so much fun that I went out and bought a copy, and then later on I bought another copy because I lost my original one. So, like, that type of DRM works. Like, people will pirate it, get to a certain point, won't be able to play anymore, and then if they like it enough, they'll buy it.
Mm-hmm. Well, how many people ran into that problem and were like, oh, this game's bullshit?
That's true. That's very true.
I'm totally pressing this button.
Like, I can't even glide.
There were people on forums, like, a week before it came out, saying, oh, I ran into a glitch.
Okay, so, piracy.
There's no way to know.
We're keeping our eye on it.
Yeah.
So, one thing that we do know is that the Xbox 360 sold like gangbusters on Black Friday. Major Nelson had a posting on his blog with some sales figures. During the week of Black Friday, they sold over 960,000 Xbox 360 consoles, along with more than 750,000 Kinect sensors, both standalone and bundled. So, over 800,000 of those were sold within a 24-hour period on Black Friday.
Jesus.
The biggest week of sales in Xbox history.
Yeah, so we were talking about, like, last week. Like, oh, the Wii's doing so good.
We sold 50,000.
No, it was like 500,000.
Oh, it was five. Oh, I missed a zero. Okay, that's more reasonable.
But we were like, oh, man, the Wii must be kicking ass. But it's just, like, the video game industry is becoming stronger.
Which is really, it's awesome to see.
Yeah, it's crazy how much of a success Kinect has been. I totally did not expect this many people to be buying it.
Well, I want one just so I can yell at people in Mass Effect 3. Like, that enough alone is enough for me to want one, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I still think there isn't enough software out there for Kinect to warrant, like, 3/4 of all people buying Xboxes also want Kinect. Like, I just don't understand that.
Yeah, well, it's...
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's more a thing of, like, if you ever try Kinect, I think it's cool enough that, or even if you just see it, that it's always cool enough that, like, if I'm going to get an Xbox, I don't know, like, what the premium is for the Kinect, but I think it's you look at it, it's like, okay, well, it's only X amount of money more. I may as well get the Kinect because I've seen cool stuff, and maybe, like, and it's partly a lot of, you think the Kinect can do, like, such and such, is like, that would be so cool, so you're like, I'll just get it and try it, and it's like, well, that doesn't work quite as I thought, but it's still really fun. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just a matter of, it's not that people are seeking out Kinects, they're seeking out Xboxes, and seeing the Kinect right next to it, and being like, yeah, I may as well put that in too.
Yeah, I think another part of it is, all like, tons of people getting this as a gift, probably, so maybe some people are like, oh, well, I bet they'd love this too, or a lot of it is, as the gaming industry expands, a lot of, like, new casual gamers, so with that come a lot of the cool sort of party casual games that work pretty well with the Kinect, like all the Kinect sports games that we enjoy playing just kind of in a party atmosphere. So not hardcore gamers, but that would definitely see a lot more Kinects sold.
Yeah, I can totally see it. Like, if you're buying it as a gift, then if you see the Kinect as an add-on, you maybe don't know what that is. You're just like, well, if I'm gonna get this as a gift, I may as well make it that much cooler.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's the, like, the mom factor, just people that don't quite know what it is, but they're like, oh, that's, like, Wii, that's cool, and just...
Or there's probably even just, like, it's taking over as the primary Xbox, people are just getting that anyway, mm-hmm. not even thinking about it.
Yeah, definitely, because the bundles are more expensive, there's more room for them to be discounted, and, like, more possible savings.
And more incentive, too, for in-store people to actually upsell it, to be like... Because if it's more money, they're going to be like, hey, well, yeah, again, I can totally see it.
They're going to push it more.
Yeah, exactly, because they want to make more money, and that's how Microsoft wants to make more money. So it's probably like the regular Xbox is in the corner, and then get Kinect display.
Yeah,
like, we look at the Wii, it's already like $150 regular price. Xbox is still like $300 for the crazy Kinect bundle. So, like, when that goes on sale, it can be like $100 off, so... That really interests people.
Yeah.
Like, I know lots of people in the state, or lots of stores in the States were doing, like, $99 Xbox deals.
Oh, my,
like,
God.
Bundles and stuff. Not with Kinect, but still very discounted.
Yeah.
So, clearly the piracy isn't hurting.
You can't download Xbox consoles yet, so they're still safe.
Not yet. Once 3D printers become advanced enough.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, what happens then?
Yeah.
What happens then?
You can pirate.
Oh, my God, that's nuts. You can
pirate real things, tangible objects. I'm going to pirate an iguana.
Well, no, because I guess you could always... Because couldn't you theoretically build your own Xbox right now? Like, I don't get how...
That would take work, though. With a 3D printer, you just push a button.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't work. Couldn't you write your own version of Portal 2? You know computing science.
But, like, that's what I'm saying. It takes more than just the component parts.
Yeah, but if you have a 3D printer, maybe it won't.
It's hurting. Move on, next story.
Okay, so next story Notch broke some news on his blog. He, of course, is the lead developer of the popular Minecraft video game.
Was. Or the lead developer.
Was. Uh-oh. Whoa. Glenn, tell us about this news.
So, Notch has decided to step down and let Jeb take over. And Notch has just been playing video games on Justin TV for the last week, and that's all he's been doing, apparently.
Yeah, it's basically, he just wants to take a break from this, and then eventually move on to some other project, but he also said, like, he was on Reddit when this post got on there. He was all in the comments being like people were like, happening. And Notch is like, well, it's been, like, ours and Jeb's game, like, from the start, so he's already, like, I'm only half of it. Jeb's still, like, the other, like, equal other half, and apparently, like, they've been seeing eye to eye, like, every design thing, everything, like, they've apparently just been, like, thinking on the same...
They have the same brain at this point.
Pretty much, and, like, yeah, the Minecraft as it is now would not have been possible without Jeb, so, I mean, it's Notch, at least, he made me confident that, like, it's in good hands right now, and, I mean, and it being, like, its official full release, it's basically, like, you just need to maintain it anyway, and I guess, like, with new features and stuff, there's not, I guess, that much of a push to really innovate, because the game should theoretically be done at this point, so I think it makes sense for Notch to want to step down and move on to something else.
Yeah, I think that this will be really good for the game, because Jeb just seems a bit more grounded than Notch, so, like, maybe now in updates we'll see more bug fixes rather than snowmen or something like that.
Notch is more whimsical with what he wants to put in.
Oh, yeah, which is because, cool, but... the snowman is, like, something he made while he was bored or something.
Yeah, he was tired of, like, working on the world generation or something, so he put in snowmen. And then the update was released and world generation didn't work properly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think it'd be really funny now if, like, in a week there's, like, crazy updates to the game. Like, there's a ton of DRM in it now. They took out the ability to craft things and make blocks. And, like, it's just, like, completely different.
It becomes a platformer.
And every world 2D. Is just in the shape of an EA logo.
Or a giant penis. Or
I'm sure it's in good hands.
Yeah.
Though. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so our next story... Moving to some TV news. Comedy Central announced something. Brett, tell us about this.
This is not my story.
This is my post. What this was Rob Denbleeker? Bleeker? One of the guys from Cyanide and Happiness.
Okay.
Tweeted a link. He's like, oh, hey, what's this? And I clicked on the link, and it brought me to this page, which is Comedy Central's announcements for all the new content they're going to be putting in 2012. And one of the things they have on there is an untitled...
Amy Schumer.
No, Cyanide and Happiness television show, which awesome. I'm super excited for as an avid reader of the site. They don't know what it is really going to be at this point. It's really vague, but it's going to be a 30-minute long animated show, whether that's an actual story, like a series type of thing, or more of a Robot Chicken type thing with all their kind of shorts that they like to do on their site.
Yeah, because they already have their video shorts online and whatnot.
I thought one show that did a good job of mixing, like, shorts with an actual plot was the College Humor show.
Yeah, I was going to say, this sounds exactly like that. Mm-hmm. Where they actually, like, with the College Humor show, they have this, like, overarching narrative through the show that's just, like I think the first episode is just, like, a competition with some other company and stuff, and, like, that develops, but in the meantime, it's, like, they're just, like, these tangents of... Stuff that they somehow work into the show. It's like, hey, remember this or something, and it's just a skit from their site. It's actually just one of the skits. So I could totally see them mixing in, their already shorts that they have online could easily be mixed in with the show. Although I would even just be excited to see, like, what these writers could come up with. I mean, like, we've had a show like Clone High, which is complete just randomness, but still really awesome and really smart at some parts. So I mean, I'm totally, like, we don't have a show like that, I guess, with Robot Chicken, but I mean, it's getting old. So
just a lot of their videos I love because some of them are really twisted and weird, and some of them are just unexpected and funny. It's just cool to see these guys that produce something that I love being given a huge chance to do something awesome with the skills they have. So it's gonna be cool to see this new thing coming out
that we still have no idea about.
But yeah,
could be fun.
Yeah.
Glenn, do you have any thoughts on Cyanide and Happiness making a TV show?
I I generally don't like their shorts. Or, like, I don't like their shorts as much as their comics.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm so on it. I'll check out a few episodes, but... I don't know. I'm not super excited.
You just rather stick to the webcomic for now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess for medium fans, I don't know. Yeah, we'll have to be a bit sold on it, because even though there's a lot of potential, half an hour is still a really long time.
It's something that they're not used to doing, so seeing how they'll adjust to it is...
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're right, Aaron. It is just really cool for them to get this chance and to be recognized. Because, yeah, they are huge at this point on the internet. They
have a large internet following.
Yeah.
And it's cool just to see, like, a lot of the stuff on the Comedy Central stuff is just, like, internet sensations. People, they recognize that, oh, people think this guy's funny. Let's have him do a show. So it's kind of interesting
to see. Totally, it's cool on one hand for Comedy Central to just be, like, searching to, like, they're basically saying, okay, we're going to be that company that does this, but at the same time it totally makes sense. It's like, well, millions of people are watching this, let's get a piece
of
that.
Why not get money out of that?
Yeah, so moving on to our last story of the day, some movie news. It was announced that The Dark Knight Rises will feature nearly 50 minutes of IMAX shot footage.
Yeah, this is a really short story. That is basically it. just with that, I was curious of, oh, it'll feature 50 minutes of, like, what, a two-hour movie. Like, that doesn't seem like much. But comparing that to the original Dark Knight had only 23 minutes, and Ghost Protocol, the new Mission Impossible, I didn't even know had IMAX shot, but that also has about 23 minutes. So it's cool that, like, even as huge as IMAX is now, it's still a very small part of movies, and even movies that are supposed to be these big IMAX experiences, like The Dark Knight was. Because I actually went into that thinking the whole thing was on IMAX, but it's pretty much just the opening Joker sequence, the first heist, and then the main car chase where the van, the truck goes vertical. Those are the two parts in IMAX.
And there's a few other random shots, too.
Yeah, but yeah, it is very, like, selected. So yeah, it's going to be awesome to see that they're devoting a lot more time to IMAX, because yeah, it is just the scale of this movie... At least the scale of The Dark Knight, I would hope this could only amplify that. It's just so awesome for IMAX, and I totally want, like, a reason to go see it in IMAX, because that would just be totally awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, when you say it's, like, 50 minutes doesn't sound like that much, but yeah, compared to the norm of, you know, normal is 20, so it's like, whoa!
Yeah, because, I mean, it is just, it's super, like, totally expensive, even for a movie with the budget of Dark Knight... still can't afford to do the whole thing in IMAX, as I'm sure they would love to do, but, you know, they have to budget, they have to choose their scenes, and it's just awesome that more scenes are going to actually be in IMAX.
I'm excited for it.
I don't know how much I like them mixing IMAX with regular footage. Like, I saw The Dark Knight in IMAX, and it was really kind of jarring when it would switch, because it would go from, like, a wide aspect ratio to that full IMAX look, and that just really kind of pulls you out of the movie and makes you realize that you're watching a movie. So with 50 minutes, does that mean it's going to be doing that a lot more often? Like, I think that might actually detract from the movie.
Yeah, I mean, there is that. It is a bit of a weird mix, but I think you have to balance that with, like, what you get out of IMAX. So I could see, like, if you're maybe you're not that into it or you don't really care, it could be a bit jarring. But if you're like me and you just want, like, the biggest freaking thing, I'm excited to be, like, that switch of, like, oh, we're in IMAX mode. This is gonna be sweet. And then
we're back to normal.
Yeah. So, I mean, it would be a bit weird, but I'm sure, like, it wasn't that noticeable in Dark Knight because the movie itself was just awesome. So, I mean, it could potentially pull you out, but I think that this is just one step closer to having full IMAX blockbuster movies. So it's a necessary step.
Okay, so that does it for the Sit Rep, our news segment. And now it's time for our main segment of the show, The Critical Hit. Welcome to The Critical Hit. If you didn't know, tonight... the VGAs are taking place on Spike.
Tonight being Saturday.
Yeah.
Yep, that's right.
The Video Game Awards, being hosted by Zachary Levi, actually, of Chuck, which is,
like,
cool.
Like Chuck?
Yeah
Chuck.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
The VGAs are being hosted by TV's Chuck from
Chuck.
I actually think he's a really good choice. He's definitely a video game player. Just a few days ago, he tweeted that he was angry that he couldn't change his Call of Duty service tag to nerd. It wouldn't let him. So
he's got to be better than Neil Patrick Harris was.
Yeah. Neil Patrick Harris...
Oh, yeah, that was terrible.
Neil Patrick Harris seems like a guy that claims to play video games but doesn't actually. Chuck, I know for a fact, does. So. All right. Chuck, and by Chuck, I mean Zach Levi.
Moving on.
Okay, so with this award season definitely upon us, we decided that it's time to start planning the Hex 19 Awards, because we want to do some sort of awards presentations.
Yeah, so we were off mic, kind of talking about, like, what are we going to do? We don't actually even know. And then we started, like, arguing, like, well, are awards even have a point? And Yuri got the idea of, like, you know what, let's just hold this, let's just talk about this on the show, because, yeah, as it is now, we have no idea what we're going to do.
I still think that Sexy Hexy Award is a must. That's about the only thing I have decided from our off-mic discussions. Other than that, thoughts?
Yeah, is it, like, I could see with us being, like, a much smaller podcast that it might be more interesting for us to not do the, like, mainstream, like, pick the best game, or maybe, like, do more obscure awards, and then, like, that could be our thing.
I thought you're so hip.
That's something we have to do, like, you know, okay, game of the year, movie of the year, some big things like that. But we can do a lot more ridiculous and strange, off-color things.
I guess my problem with that is that I can only think of how other shows do it, and it just seems so much better than anything I could think of originally. Because, I mean, Totally Rad Show has a thing that I really like, where they all have their top five for whatever category, and then from that, they choose the top for the show, and it usually just ends up being what's actually on all three of them. Even if, like, together it might not be the best game, but it's, like, the game that they all can agree on as being the best.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I know we were talking about before that we might want to do something called the Golden Hexagon, where we pick just, like, the best thing.
Because, yeah, like, us being, like, with movies, TV shows, video games, like, can we think of an award that's just the number one...
Anything.
Anything that we've talked about or would be interested in.
And that got me thinking we could do, like, the Hex 19, where it's, like, the 19 best things.
That's
so, like, a top 19 list.
Yes. But then, that could just be the whole episode.
Okay. That's interesting.
It's radical, man.
How do we go about actually picking that? Yeah. Because, I mean, I think...
We have to go back and listen to every single episode.
For me, part of the fun is just actually hearing, like, what's on everyone else's list. And I think picking just, like, one thing isn't that interesting or that meaningful. Because, I mean, for a game to be awarded the X19 top video game, it's like, that's pretty meaningless, especially if it gets to a case where it's like, well, it was number five on, like, all of our lists, but it's the only thing. It's like, well, I guess this goes to the... I guess that's our best game, even though we all, like... Even though there's, like, three people who, like, love this one game, one guy's like, I hated that game.
Well,
or something.
I know what game we're gonna pick as game of the year.
Me too.
I actually...
It's not my game of the year, but I know that we'll pick it.
I have my game of the year, and then the one I know that'll win. Yeah. I'm pretty sure. We'll talk about that later.
Maybe we should just do our each
we could do that.
Individual lists.
We could do, like, top three, and then agree on something as the show, what actually gets the show award, and each give our own separate thing.
Yeah, just because I know it's going to win doesn't mean it doesn't deserve recognition or doesn't deserve us talking about it.
Or, like, with you talking about that podcast, where, like, what if we all just bring, like, a nomination? Like, why don't we just all, like, bring a nomination? Like, maybe not necessarily have a list, because then it's just, like, then you're just running through.
Lists are fun, though.
They are.
Maybe we could do, like, a audio one, but also do video ones.
What do you mean?
Like, we'll do our audio show, which will be whichever award format we decide. Okay. But then also do, like, a TRS-style video one, where we do, like, top five lists.
I was thinking more like we do, like, our audio thing, and then we could also have articles on the side where everyone goes over their
top lists. That sounds like so much work.
I like the idea of having a video along, or a separate video award.
I don't want people to see me.
We're seeing you right now, Glenn.
No, yeah, what about lazy vlogs? So many people
those were a horrible idea. Also, you posted those so late.
No, I didn't.
The second one came out, like, after PAX was done.
No.
Didn't
no.
it?
No, he posted those during.
No. Because I checked when I got home from PAX and it wasn't up.
No, the lazy vlogs we posted during. It was the ones with both of us that we posted later.
Anyway, all I was saying, this could maybe work in with a list, but I like the idea of all just of us nominating one thing to be.
I do like that.
The winner instead of necessarily, I guess it could work out just being we have our top five, and then each of our number one is the nomination. So with that, we put that into a pool, and then we like argue about.
So it's like,
or we talk about why this deserves, and if it's a 3-1 or that type of situation, then it's like. The three of them trying to convince the other person, mm-hmm. or if it's unanimous, we can just talk about why yeah. it's so obvious.
Mm-hmm. So it'd be like each of us have nominations for a personal award, and then all those go into a bigger pot. For
yeah,
like
we the it's like
show
we,
award.
We have our top five, and then number one mm-hmm. is the thing that we put into
the show award.
Yes,
category.
That's what we nominate.
Okay,
and because like on the Totally Right Show, they basically just said. Well, this is on all of our lists, so I guess.
That but if has it's like to, the worst game it. Out of all of them on there,
yeah, and like, and they had some cases where they're like, based on our rules, this is the best game, even though they're all like, eh.
So okay, so for something to be like game of the year, movie of the year, it has to be number one on at least one of our lists, basically.
Yeah, it's okay. It's basically like if you're putting something if you're saying this is my favorite thing. Then that's what you want to nominate to be the winner. And yeah. then in that, you're going to defend it as the winner.
Mm-hmm.
And we might have to come to an agreement. Or someone mm-hmm. might just find the conceit of like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Like I like mine more, but I think I can see why it should be the show's best.
Yeah, one podcast that has like a really radical way of doing awards is the Hatchet Job
What's that?
Podcast. It's just an audio podcast that mostly does board games and video games. So they did their 2010 award show just last August.
What?
The reasoning being that games are something that's not like a movie. You don't just see it
yeah,
and you're done. You need to like play those a lot and have like hundreds of hours with each game, especially board games. Like you need a bunch of times to play through those and have different game experiences.
Yeah.
So you need some time to figure stuff out. And then as well, they didn't just do like a top thing. They discussed their top games, but instead what they did is they just did a call out for emails to just nominate a game as well as think up of a specific award for that game.
Okay.
So like I emailed in and I nominated Seven Wonders as best in-between games game.
Yeah.
So that's what it won. Like there isn't competition or whatever, just
I do like the idea of taking, you know, like maybe we do like best board game and I don't know, Catan wins it or whatever. And then all the other nominations, like, okay, we have to think up an award to give all of these.
But just, the problem with that is that we're going to have like 20, we could have 20
that's
things.
That's true.
Yeah.
If we do a top five.
Yeah. Like, some of them were just, cause they weren't necessarily good awards either. So some of them were just like hilarious.
Like what?
Like, I think like Heavy Rain won like. Most awkward dialogue sequences or something like really weird funny awards like that.
Okay.
Because
yeah, I do also like just having like wild card categories are always just a ton of fun to do like in our 2010 awards, which is like our practice episode for S19 before we even started. We had just like the most which movie made you feel the least.
I was what did I pick that for
was,
that? I remember mine was a really good one.
That was just awkward. Because you have to find a thing that you had literally no emotional attachment to. Neither positive nor negative.
It'd be hard to, like, think back on, like, what did I see this year and, like, not really care about. It's like, I forget those movies.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think I do like the idea of us having, like, our big, like, the big segments or whatever. That's the top five, and you mm-hmm. nominate and do that. But then we also can just have, like, generic kind of funny awards where anything can go into that, like biggest disappointment or something could be a movie, could be a video game. Yuri's scrolling.
So are we going to do that thing where we come up with random categories and nominate a single game for it? Because I do like that idea.
It could be
like,
fun. I can
think of 10 ridiculous awards off the top of my head that just Saints Row 3 would get.
Yeah, like that could be a fun thing just for a video too. Or like a short standalone type
thing. Okay, do we want to, like, brainstorm now where some obscure... I don't know what people are doing with their hands. what some, like, obscure awards could be? Because I can only think of, like, the, like, most disappointing, because those are, like, what's fun for me. Thinking of, like, what was I most excited for and then, like, let down the most.
Most dragons. Minecraft.
Yep. Game with the most annoying
best dragon.
Because, like, yeah, like, do we get, like, super... I think it could even be... It's not necessarily for the obscure awards. That could just be something that we each, like, bring to the table. We each think of an obscure award and something to award it to at the same time. So we're not necessarily talking about it, but, like, if Glenn has an idea for a Saints Row one, he's like, and I would like to nominate this for... Or, like, I... Yeah, like, we just go through, like, what our obscure awards are, what we gave to that, and then it could even just be fun to think, like, what award categories we thought of.
Yeah, I didn't mean, like, have some big debate or anything
this. Yeah, totally. It's,
like, pick something very specific, like...
Yeah, where the award itself is the thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Best, like, helicopter party sequence. Or, I don't know.
There's not a party in a helicopter.
Oh, well, I don't play
out of
game,
the helicopter
then.
And do a party.
So, as far as what we put on our audio feed on iTunes, though...
Okay.
Do you think... Like, I think we should do 3 episodes. One for TV, one
One episode.
Yeah,
one. We have one award episode.
Then
it
would be
it.
So long, though.
That's the thing, though. It doesn't have to be.
You can speed it up by 1.5
times.
And
if it's so long, if you're worried about it being so long, people are going to listen to, like, a huge...
Well, a video game fan would be more likely to listen to... video game show.
Maybe we sacrifice the news for 1 week to talk about all our awards.
We probably wouldn't do the news that
well, no, it would be it would be the award show. That's
yeah.
it. There's okay. no mana pool, no nothing.
It's not like
that
a typical
is the award show.
Show.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like, it could... I'm sure we could get it done in, like... Because I'm thinking, like, we have 3 segments now, and we could have 3... Anyway, well, like, what? That's movies, TVs, show, TVs, and... And video games, but then there's also, like, I don't know how to deal with, like, do we do comics and stuff? Because Aaron wants to talk about that, but we don't...
I feel like we should do board games one, because we have played a lot of new board games this year.
So it's like, there seems
to
be...
Not necessarily comics,
that's
not something we all...
Well, yeah, we didn't play a lot of 2011 board games this year.
No, that's true.
Like, it's new to us, we can still do those.
Well, no, they have to be released in 2011 for them to be best of 2011.
No, see, I don't like that. I do not like that, because it's... arbitrary when things are released. If, like, the best thing I played this year came out 2 years ago...
Then it shouldn't win the award.
But I couldn't talk about it 2 years ago because we weren't doing a podcast.
That's your problem.
Yeah, well, like...
Maybe then we have, like, a separate, like, shorter thing where it's best new-to-me thing. I don't know.
Because, like, okay, so, like, what board games then can we talk about? We can't talk about any.
That is correct.
Like, if we talked about board games that are new to us, we could talk about, like, Power Grid, Dominant Species. Like, we got a lot of new ones. 7 Wonders.
Yeah, like, and it's also, like, a fun... Because, like, we're not a source for, like, what's new in geek culture. It's all, like with our manipulations and stuff, it's all about us discovering things. Like, with each episode, we're not necessarily covering the new thing every single time. So it seems a bit out of character to not allow me to talk about... I don't know, Dominant Species or something.
Can we say for the big 3, like, movies, video game, and TV show?
I think that makes sense, because we actually stay up to date on those.
On those big... on those 3, we say, like, release this year. I think for mostly anything else, if it's new to you, you can award it.
Larry Sanders Show.
First episode of Breaking Bad.
Exactly. That totally was best TV for this year.
Yeah, because, like, you have to have some sort of... It makes it a lot more interesting when it's in a time frame rather than just whatever you happen to check out this year.
No, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, we should also do a... We should do a look forward at next year.
Like, too. Most anticipated
game
or movie. Or...
Well, that should be, like, an extended FTL drive for that episode.
Yeah, it can be, like, the end of the episode.
Yeah, it'd be a long-ass episode. I don't know.
We can record it and then see if we
can
split it
up. Well, if we're
going
to be... Yeah.
It's easy enough to record it in one
sitting and then sitting. Split it up.
That's
as
true.
We split it up
if we go into it thinking, like, we don't know what it's going to be, but we have this segment, we have this segment, we have this segment, then, yeah, I mean, it would be easy for Yuri to go in afterwards and be like, here's this, or like, welcome to the X-19, let's continue on with part two of...
Yeah. Because I'm just thinking, like, last year, those test episodes that we did, the awards slash looking forward was two parts, the first one being 2 hours, the next one being an hour 45.
We had top 10 lists, though.
And we also sucked.
But there were only three of us.
Ah, damn it, Aaron.
But you all sucked. Now we're all so good at this.
No, not only one of us sucks.
We didn't, no, I don't think we did, I don't think we had top 10. We had top fives. I had my top 10 on that document, but we only share top fives.
Hmm. Yeah, it'll be tough to see. But yeah, like, let's just go and see what happens. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so what we have so far. So we're going to do the nomination thing for our top fives for the main.
We're going to do top five for each of us? Like, everyone's going to pick five?
Each of us brings a top five list.
And then plan for number one. That's going to be what you nominate for the big discussion at the end of what wins.
Okay.
The golden hexagon for movies.
What happened? Okay, let's say... What happens if we all pick different number ones and we're deadlocked?
Phone a friend.
Two of us, if it's a two-way tie.
I think if it's if you and Brett agree that Skyrim should win, and Glenn picks something else and I pick something else, if there's a tie for one thing... Or no, how much? That's not right.
Okay,
that's
not right. Yeah, in that case, it'd be 2-1-1, yeah. So Skyrim would win. But let's say if Brett and I both pick Skyrim and you and Glenn pick Minecraft,
yeah,
then it's like 2-on-2. What happens then?
Then that's what we talk about. We try and
convince each other.
What if we get break the tie?
I think it would almost be kind of funny just to phone up someone on speakerphone and be like,
oh,
Johnny,
that'd be nuts.
Johnny, pick right now. Which is better game of the year, Skyrim or Minecraft? Oh, Skyrim's. Okay, thanks, bye.
Okay,
on show, just call a friend. And each time we have to call someone different.
How do we pick our friends, though?
Draw them out of a hat. I don't like that idea.
Hopefully that won't happen.
No, yeah, I think...
It would be funny.
The point of it, I think, should be we should have to actually discuss and, argue, our case for, why it's the best game.
Yeah. But if that, if we go through a huge discussion for, half an hour
because,
and we're still deadlocked...
Because the thing is, for me, what I normally... could see happening for me when I get into these discussions is that I go, here's what the best thing is, and Aaron goes, well, here's the best thing for me, and here's why I liked it, and I go, I didn't even think of that. Damn it, yeah, you're right. That's yours is way better.
And I win.
More likely, what will happen is, this is why your game is stupid.
No, exactly.
Skyrim sucks. Okay, why can't you just admit it?
Yeah,
RPGs are dumb.
I know.
Except for MMOs, and most of those are also dumb.
Come on.
Yeah, I think that'll be part of the fun to see what the hell do we do in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if we have to phone a friend,
or we can just ask Brett or Yuri's mom, depending on where we're recording.
Okay, what about
look at these two covers? Which one's prettier?
Okay, so we're making top five lists. What if the games that are tied at the end? What about if we decide based on their rankings in the other people's top fives?
Sure.
If that makes a difference.
Yeah, if we need a tiebreaker, we can think of a way to do tiebreakers. I just don't want it to be decided on the fact that, well, it's on all of ours. I want it to actually be based on, we have to actually freaking fight for our nominations.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm really liking the sounds of all of this.
Yeah, and then we have that for main, and then we just have kind of a random, let's each bring a couple awards. We'll see how much time we have for those. And then we do our look forward for what we're expecting. I think that's our show.
Yeah, so what are some of the problems with awards shows that we want to avoid?
Well,
I know there's that, the genre problem. We talked about, Judd Apatow wanting to make a separate comedy category. I don't think we have that problem as much, though.
We're not breaking it into genres. We're breaking it down into mediums.
No, I know, but, let's say in movies, is there a bias that a comedy just won't win? I don't think
no.
so.
No.
I think we're better at that.
Yeah, we can evaluate a movie for what it's worth, I guess.
I think definitely in video games, it's slightly more of a problem for us just because some of us don't even touch certain genres.
Yeah. Like if Yuri says, I don't know, Gran Turismo 5 or whatever, I hate racing games.
Sports games, too. Yeah. Like we just don't play those.
And you don't like Assassin's Creed for whatever reason because you're dumb.
No, I like Assassin's Creed. It's just not my cup of tea. Okay.
For me, my main worry is that I know, Yuri, you've been like devoting a lot of time to actually going through and like watching all these things, whereas I've been lazy this year, and like I'm worried that I'm not like I'm really worried about the TV show one because I don't know what I'm going to bring to that. I don't even know like what TV I've watched.
Yeah, can I pick five shows that I've watched this year?
I don't think I can, and that's a problem.
That's a lot of TV.
Good chunk, yeah.
I've been watching pretty much all those except Big Bang Theory.
Did Wilfred come out this year?
Yeah, Wilfred.
Because yeah. I guess what I'm worried about is that my top five list is going to be the five things I watched.
Yeah.
But maybe you watch those things because they're the best five things on TV.
So,
yeah.
So what if that's your top five list? Those are your top five.
That's true.
Sure.
It doesn't have to be the five best things in existence this year. It has to be the five things you liked most that you experienced.
Okay. And yeah, and I guess like if something actually caught my attention enough for me to go and seek it out, I guess that's saying something for me personally, how I deal with geek culture stuff.
You guys all have to watch Game of Thrones, though. I'm making that a rule.
Oh, I should.
I'm not recording this episode, without you guys watching Game of Thrones.
Okay.
It's not super long. It's 13 episodes, or 12. One of those. Yeah, so I guess that does it for our awards planning and discussion. I'm happy we did this now, not during our awards show.
Yeah.
Then it would have been really, really long. I'm looking forward to this. As far as date, we're not gonna commit to anything yet. We don't really know what our schedule will be like, but probably sometime
in January,
maybe February. Mm-hmm. Just depending on how things work out.
I think whatever week is slowest,
which
in January could just be all of them. I don't know if anything comes out.
Well, it's been I don't know, like we have Star Wars The Old Republic coming out this year technically, but that might be a game that we want to like hold over to next year. Like
what do you mean?
Well, it wouldn't have come out, so we can't do it.
It came out in 2011.
I guess if we do in January, but like if, let's say if you're doing an awards show at like on the 31st of December to like cap off the year, you've only had 10 games or 10 days with this massive MMO, so it's like not really fair.
Yeah.
But I guess if we're doing it in January, we can have it on there. But yeah, like with movies, there's a ton of movies coming out in December that we probably won't have a chance to see until January, so it doesn't make sense for us to be doing the award show.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we'll start working on our... So yeah, three categories, movies, video games, TV. Those are our top...
Those are three big ones.
Those are the top three?
Those are the ones you have to build top fives for, and just think of some auxiliary awards on the side.
Are we also going to do, like, I do want to do a board games one, or do we want to do it, like, those big three?
I think that would have to be one of your personal awards, if you want to make that a board game thing. Because that's we haven't done new board games this year, so it's tough to work that into an award show.
Mm-hmm. Or we could do a video, too, just, like, board game wrap-up 2011, here are the best games we played.
Sure.
And holding it to the camera.
Hey!
Smile.
Yeah, so we'll get our top fives ready and all that.
Top fives, auxiliary awards, things you're looking forward to,
and boom.
And possibly Golden Hexagon.
Are we doing that? Can that be like intangible things? Does it have to be like a show?
Destiny. I don't know.
Love.
Anyway, I think we're prepared. I think we're good.
Yes. Okay, so before we wrap up the show, we're going to move on to our final segment, the FTL Drive, where we talk about what's on the radar for next week. Welcome to the FTL Drive.
You guys wrote things down?
I guess let's get things started with a quick look at the calendar for this week.
Oh yeah, we're doing this now.
Of course, tonight are the Spike VGAs.
Saturday.
That's today. Today is Saturday. So tonight are the Spike VGAs. I'm excited to see what games take home all the big categories, and also probably some huge announcements. Like last VGAs, Skyrim was announced. Like, that was really? The first time we saw
Yeah, we saw it.
I forgot about that.
That was the first trailer.
Yeah, so...
Okay, yeah, I totally have a reason to watch now.
Are they
going to
announce Elder Scrolls 6?
No.
They better.
I hope. I really hope not. they still need a few years to get all the bugs out of Skyrim. True. They cannot make a new game. True.
They need years to get bugs out of Oblivion still.
Yeah. So, yeah, Spike VGAs are tonight. Sony apparently is going to be announcing, like, a big new project. Maybe that will be that Super Smash Brothers-esque thing we discussed.
That'd be cool.
Epic is, like, they're done with their Gears of War trilogy, so we're supposed to hear what they're working on next.
We're talking about a prequel or something, though.
Oh.
Yeah, we have no idea, but still.
Something Epic else, is not, yeah, Gears of War, big, is, yeah. I'm excited for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and last year we also had like Arkham City announcement too. Yeah. Like so many huge games are announced there.
It'd be nuts.
Then in the cinema,
huge movies coming out.
December 16th, we have Mission Impossible: Ghost Protocol coming out, and Sherlock Holmes: A Game of Shadows, which everyone should go see because I've
picked it in the movie draft.
I think I'm like number 80 something out of 100 right now, so I'm hanging in there. I got New Year's Eve coming out this week and next week. Game of Shadows, so.
And keep in mind, story on a while ago, Sherlock Holmes gonna have some crazy trailers.
The Hobbit.
Yeah, The Hobbit and The Dark Knight trailers, I'm so pumped to see. And being able to see them in theaters is gonna be sweet.
It's not on the list, but Tintin, I think, is on the 21st.
Oh my god, Tintin!
That comes out in
We're
December.
Not on the 21st yet. Wait until
I know, it's not even on the list, though.
I was just thinking we'd probably do another podcast before then.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, Tintin coming out, Warhorse as well, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, lots of big movies. December 17th, the PlayStation Vita launches in Japan. It's supposed to drop in North America sometime early next year, but we'll get a chance to see some of the cool games and stuff.
And get some reviews or some hands-on videos.
Yeah.
People what they actually think.
And then on December 20th, Star Wars The Old Republic launches.
Yay. And then we're never going to see Glenn again.
Yeah. And early access starts on the 13th for those who pre-ordered.
That's like...
Or it's like, they bring people in waves, depending on when you pre-ordered, and I pre-ordered 3 hours after the pre-orders went online, so I think I should get in fairly pretty early.
It's gonna be tight. We'll
get in like on the 19th.
Like 3 weeks after.
Yeah. Okay, so that's what's on our geek calendar. Brett, what's on your personal calendar this
week?
The
League. I really want to watch The League. Oh. My god, I want to watch The League. That's it.
Last night's episode was interesting. Elijah Dushku guest starred.
Nice.
Yeah. Haven't seen her in anything since Dollhouse, so it's kind of...
I think she's been in like some movies, maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know.
No one knows. But yes, do that.
Yeah.
Glenn, what about you?
Star Wars, of course.
Cool.
More Battlefield, more Terrain.
And less sleep.
Yes. I also need to finish Skyward Sword. Oh, God.
It's all fetch quests anyway.
No, it's so much more than that.
Yuri?
I'm going to be hopping into some Halo Reach, I believe.
Yeah, we're going to be playing some Speed Halo after this.
Let's play some Speed Halo. Also, I promised that I'd make a series of Skyrim tip videos. As of right now, there's only one, so I have to fix that.
I thought there was a second one.
Not yet. It's in the works. And by works, I mean I have it planned in my head. So it's going to be a tutorial for alchemy.
Nice.
So look forward to that sometime this week. Aaron, how about you?
I'll continue playing Civilization and maybe continue watching It's Always Sunny. I'm in like season 4 or 5.
So you're trekking.
I'm working through it. Yeah. Working through. And I also want to write up a Hey You Read This for the Walking Dead comic books.
Nice.
So I think I'll try and get into that this week.
Cool, so that wraps up this week's episode of the Hex 19 Geekcast. If you want to find out more about the show, visit our official website, hex19.com. That's hex19.com. There we actually have a blog with some cool articles written by me, mostly, because you guys are slacking a little.
I'm going to get back to it.
I wrote like a sentence of one and never posted it.
That's a step in the right direction.
Yeah,
we have videos and articles going up there. There you can find all of our old podcast episodes to listen to them. And we have easy links for subscribing via RSS, iTunes, any possible way that you'd want to listen to the show. And you can also follow all of our Twitter pages there, as well as the official Hex 19 Twitter, twitter.com/Hex19Show.
Facebook. You can Facebook, like us there.
Yes, like us on Facebook.
Facebook.com/Hex19. We got that.
And,
yes, we did.
Our YouTube channel, subscribe, youtube.com/Hex19Show.
For more Skyrim tips.
For more Skyrim, yes. For Skyrim tip, visit our YouTube videos.
Our upcoming awards videos, potentially.
Yeah, looking forward to that. If I had to give an award to my most anticipated thing right now, it would be our awards show coming soon.
Oh gosh.
Shameless.
Okay, so yeah, that does it for this week's Hex 19. Thanks so much for listening. Until next week, I'm Yuri Walke.
I'm Brett Commander.
I'm Glenn Meyer.
And I'm Aaron Raham.
And we are out.
I was born an April Fool, full of gold, to brothel. And saved all my sins.
How are our levels, Yuri?
Oh, they're fine.
No one listens. Anyway,
not very big.
I think we're peaking, Yuri. No.
Ha!
It's totally fine.
Ha! Peak! Ha!
Because by the end of the episode, we're very quiet.
So. Ho!
We are?
Yeah.
Okay, guys, consistency. Uncertainty means more volume, not less.
I'm uncertain.
That. Because it was like a joke, because we'll be like, yeah, it was really, or was it? I can't remember if it was. Yeah, maybe it was just something else. But other than that, it was awesome.
The quietest things are always me and Aaron's sidebars.
I do that, it's just how I talk. I'm very guilty of that.
Radio.
I'll try and
set those up.
What time are you calling? Although, maybe when he does that, the audience likes to picture Aaron going, shh.
I do like the thought of Aaron will just interrupt a conversation with one time in a comic
book. I'd be interrupting my own sentence.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, so I was watching this video, which was really reminiscent of this comic book.
You wouldn't use the word reminiscent.
Why not? I just used it.
No.
I literally just used
that it. That was you pretending to be you. That wasn't
Yeah,
you
were in character.
Yeah.
As myself.
Like when Colbert goes into character.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Isn't he just always himself?
No.
Colbert? He's a guy, and that's what he does.
Isn't he hosting, like, a debate?
Who the fuck knows? He's a Sunday school teacher. True fact.
I'm so tired.
Shut up. Play less games, ooh, then.
No.
Okay, stop complaining about how tired you are.
No. That's my thing.
Being tired?
I'm so sleepy.
Oh, yeah.
I just see the league.
I'm so sleepy.
Watch the league.
No, I didn't watch the league. I only watched Community and Always Sunny.
It was pretty epic Sheba Blast.
Oh, I only watched the first, like, half of Community. It was pretty awesome.
This last half kind of sucks.
Okay. Perfect.
Yeah. The rap is awesome.
It came out of nowhere. Because, like, I started watching, like, 5 or 10 minutes in, like, home or whatever. And yeah, just all of a sudden they just start rapping. It's like a music video. What?
Consequence to you, And I don't care if you and I will take the rest of our entire lives. I'm patient here for you.